We all go to the doctor from time to time. And when we do, we get a prescription oftentimes to try to help or fix what's wrong with us. Sometimes I think we get too dependent upon these things and too quick to just, you know, give me a pill to fix this. And some things don't get fixed with a pill. But there's some things that I believe God has a prescription for in His Word from us as well, passing this thing on that I found. I think it'll be a blessing to you. I hope it will be. But God's prescription, you know, God's Word is, I believe, is a powerful tool, a powerful force. It's more than just a book. It's God's Word. I've seen what it's done in my own life. I've seen what it's done in other people's lives when they've taken it and read it and applied its truths. And like that quick fix to our medical problem we might have, I believe there are some quick fixes in the Word of God for some problems that we face. The trouble is this. Me, my flesh. But there's a lot of things, if I can get past this and just rest on this, a lot of our problems wouldn't exist. I can't. How many times do your kids say that? I just can't. Philippians 4:13. I'm sure a lot of these verses are going to be very familiar to you. But again, I believe the Word of God is powerful and effective, so we're going to look at them. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul wrote that from prison. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul wrote that from experience of what he'd seen God do in his life throughout his entire life from the time he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior on that road to Damascus. Met him and was changed and saw the power of God work through him as he yielded his life to him. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Someone says, if God calls you, he also enables you. But God, I can't do this. God put it before you to do it. You can do it. If you rest in Him. In your own flesh? Oh, yeah. I've tried it. Okay, Lord, I'm ready to rest on You now. Okay. All grace, that always with all sufficiency in all things may abound toward every good work. I don't know what to do. James 1:5. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You know, there's a lot of prayers that we make that are conditioned upon the will of God. Healing. I believe God heals people. I believe God desires to heal some people. But some He doesn't. Paul fought with that thorn in the flesh. And he says, I besought the Lord thrice. And God answered him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, you got to bear this one, Paul. I'm not going to heal you. So there are some things we can pray for anything, But there's no guarantee that God is going to answer in the affirmative. God might say, sorry, not this time. I'm not going to do that for you. But here's one that he promises always to answer. Look at it. If any of you lack wisdom, who's excluded? Nobody. Let him ask. That's God's will. If you're lacking wisdom, to ask. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He's not going to chide you for asking about this. And it shall be given him. So why don't we get wisdom when we ask for it? Well, maybe it's because it's not the wisdom we want. Or maybe we're just not waiting for it. But that's the promise of God. If you don't know what to do, ask. And God promises unconditionally to give you the wisdom that you need. I'm afraid. You ever been afraid? All kinds of fears we face in this world today. Varying among us here tonight. But I'm sure that there's things all of us from time to time fear. But it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, this, verse 7. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So if you're afraid, it's not of God. Because the God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 is he's taking over the leadership of the people of Israel, getting ready to lead them into the promised land. He says this in verse 9 of Joshua chapter 1. God speaking to Joshua, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. And the thing about this in Joshua 1, both of them are talking about God's presence. The assurance of God's presence in whatever we're facing. The images of, you know, walking down the beach there, you know, and you see only one set of footprints, and, you know, where was God? Well, those footprints were God's. He was carrying me. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear not. When that fear comes, you need to give it to him and leave it with him. That's God's prescription. I'm worried. Probably goes along with the last one, but nevertheless broken it up. 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. There's a companion to this in Psalm 55, I believe it's verse 22. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He'll not suffer the righteous to be moved. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. See, casting all your care upon him. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Probably worry is one of the greatest afflictions that Christians suffer from, because we've not come to the place in our lives to give it to Him and leave it with Him. And I've struggled with that too. You get down on your knees and you pray about something, and you pray fervently and earnestly and just, okay, God, and the peace comes. Then you get up off your knees and you pick it back up again and you walk away. Leave it there. Be careful for nothing. That's what God wants us to do. These prescriptions aren't necessarily easy to follow through with. It's easy, but our trouble is getting past this to do what God says to do. That's where we struggle. But here's what He tells us to do about these things. You say, well, I don't understand what's going on. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Why has this happened to me? Why did God let this happen? And many applications of that in our lives oftentimes too. But He says this, verse 5 of Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. First, I need to put it there. I need to trust Him with it. Okay, here it is, God. I don't know how I'm going to get through this thing. I don't know what the outcome of this is going to be, but it's yours, God. I'm yours. This is yours. I'm leaving it with you. And I'm not going to try to reason and figure the thing out. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. To trust Him with that. As Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord. You know, there's just some things we got to leave in God's hands and let Him worry about it. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. When we understand that that's God's attitude towards us, that helps us to be able to trust Him with anything in our lives. You don't mean evil toward me, God. You have thoughts of peace, not of evil, of good, to give me an expected end. God's got a goal in mind for us. God's got something He's preparing us for. And something that as you get back at the end of the thing, you look back and you see how suddenly all the pieces fit perfectly together. Right now, oftentimes we look at our lives and all we see is a big pile of pieces scattered out on the table. And it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But when that expected end comes, you look back and it's all going to be put together, and every piece is going to have its place, and it's going to fit perfectly. That's what God's trying to do in our lives, is put the pieces together. And we need to just let Him do it, even when we don't understand. I can't go on. 2 Corinthians 12 made reference to this passage a little bit earlier, but let's take a look at it now. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And he said unto me, this is Paul praying about the thorn in the flesh that he's given, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Earlier he said he was able to make all grace abound unto us. And Paul says in response to this, he didn't get the prayer answered the way he wanted the prayer answered. God says, you're going to have to suffer this thing, Paul. What's his answer? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I don't say that I have a complete understanding of this now, but I've got a lot better understanding of this than I had when I got saved. God is trying to accomplish something in my life. And all that's taking place is for that purpose, to get to that expected end. And the sooner I submit, stop resisting, like Paul did in Acts chapter 9 before he got saved. You know, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks, he said. And just let God have his way. The sooner God can accomplish his purpose, and the more at peace I'm going to be in my life. That's where Paul was. He's, okay, God, pile it on. I'll take it all. Your grace is sufficient because I glory in, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So I'm going to glory in those infirmities. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God doesn't quit. As long as you've got breath, God will not give up on you. When God gives up, you're done. If you're saved, you're going home. You may go home prematurely, but you're going home when God gives up on you. As long as you're here, God's still working to fulfill his purpose in your life. I'm tired. You ever get tired? Psalm 127 first. Let's look at that one. Psalm 127 and verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. God says he gives us sleep. And when we're worrying and stressing about things that are keeping us awake at night, you know, there's some other things that we're not applying in our lives. We've not left that thing with him and just unburdened ourselves with that. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28. Jesus is speaking here and he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Oftentimes we're tired because we're not coming to him. Because we're trying to carry the load ourselves. We're trying to do it in the power of our flesh. in our own strength instead of God's. Or maybe we're doing the wrong things. And obviously doing it then in the flesh, because it's not what God wants us to be doing. He says, you come to me, you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Okay, God, I'm going to let go of what I'm trying to do, what I want to do, what I want to accomplish. And I'm going to accept what you want to accomplish in me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. See, that weariness we suffer a lot of times is because all of our effort and all of our energy is pushed in the wrong direction. God says, if you go in my direction, you know, come to me, take my yoke, learn of me, you'll find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I believe Paul understood that. I believe Paul experienced that. So he could write the things that he wrote from that Roman prison to encourage and challenge us as well. That even though it's an infirmity of my flesh, in my weakness, God is strong. So I'm going to glory in that thing, God. That's the yoke you've given me to bear. And I'm going to accept that. And finds rest unto his soul. So he said there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. That expected end. The thoughts of peace that God had to him. And somehow, God communicated to Paul at the end of his life, the finish line's in sight, Paul. You're coming home soon. And he saw that. And he was ready to break the tape and receive the celebration. One more thing. I can't forgive myself. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. This is something that at times I found Christians just struggle. You know, they've committed some sin. They've repented of it. They've made peace with God. They've made peace with others. But the one individual they can't seem to make peace with is with them all, their own selves. They allow Satan to use that as a tool to torment them and to torture them in their lives. If you've confessed it, if you've forsaken it, if you've given it to God, it's done, Christian. Verse 1 of chapter 8. There is, therefore, now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But Satan continues to roll that thing out there in front of us to try to trip us. And we let him. Instead of saying, that doesn't have any power on me anymore. That's taken care of. That's under the blood. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. Well, let's start in verse 3. Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Paul begins and he's talking in this chapter about all that we have as a child of God. By being in Christ, all that is ours, all that we possess, all that we simply have to reach out and lay hold of. All these things, verse 4, according as He has chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Now look at this. Wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. If you're saved, that's you. You're already accepted in the Beloved. You don't have to be initiated. You don't have to go through some probationary period. You're accepted in the Beloved. God has forgiven you. God has taken you in as His child. He's adopted you, and He's put all these blessings at your disposal. I just need to forgive myself and let my sins rest under the blood of Jesus Christ. Once I've dealt with them, once I've confessed and forsaken them, they're gone. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Forgive yourself. Rest in Him. Go on in His power and His strength. Amen. Hope that's a blessing to you tonight.